follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN. The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you into fantasy sports like we are? It's time to get the inside scoop on the sport and how it affects your team. This is Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. It's a hard look at the transactions, the injuries, free agents, and starters. And the best part is, you get to ask the experts so you can win. Now, here's Dish Adams.
Oh, yeah. But today, I actually got to say, oh no. To those who didn't like his politics, yeah, I get that. I understand it. But those of you who listen to the show know that Andrew Breitbart is a friend of mine, was a friend of mine, I need to say now, was. It's so sad. And regardless of his politics, this was a man who had four children, a lovely wife, was a good husband, was a good father, stuck to his guns and his own integrity. He was fearless, and he really was always focused on policy, not insulting people, but insulting policy and exposing policy. So, you know, I haven't seen any stuff on Facebook or the web assailing him just yet. I'm sure it'll come. But I remember Andrew for being honest, for being fearless, and quite frankly, for just always saying what other people were too afraid to say. And I guess he continued it his whole career. There are some other things I remember him for, and we'll talk about that as we get into the body of the show. But first, information. That is what you want. And while there is sadness in the world, as there is every day, there's some happiness in NFL land. The combine results are in. RG3 is better than advertised, even without throwing the ball. He's taller, he's stronger than we thought. Andrew Luck beat Cam Newton in every category at the combine. St. Louis trading out of the number 2. Manning heading out of town is all but certain. The Redskins, Dolphins, and Browns in the hunt for RG3. Is Luck the number 1 surefire pick, or do you go for Griffin now? It's good to see football and football players. Hines Ward, released by Pittsburgh. The frenzy of off-season activity is about to begin. Draft prep is about to begin. Opening night of the NFL one day sooner. Thank you, Mr. President. They don't want it to conflict with his speech. The Giants open on a Wednesday. I don't know who they play yet. Who do you want them to play? Wednesday the 5th. Get your fantasy draft in early this year, guys. You got Labor Day. You're off of work on Monday for Labor Day. Tuesday you go to work. Bada bing, bada Wednesday. Football season. Baseball getting started. More excited than ever for baseball since I'm so not into the NBA. And then Dita Von Teese, the queen of burlesque, will be on the show sometime this month, later in the month. Don't know which week it's going to be yet. We obviously will promote it relentlessly. But the queen of burlesque comes here to Fantasy Insights Radio to talk about sex and steak. She just launched a tour. She's selling lingerie. She obviously is very lovely. She will join the show later this month, as I said. You know, it's from sex to drugs. Jerome Simpson, well, they've proven that he is a stoner, but not a dealer. The court says 60 days in the slam for him. You know, and I'm here with a heavy heart today, folks. I know that we've talked about Andrew actually was supposed to, Andrew Breitbart was supposed to come onto the show this month, and we were going to talk some politics on air. As you know, he and I and Kevin were high school classmates, And we went to a very small school. It's not like, you know, you had 1,500 kids in your class. I mean, there were 77 kids in our entire graduating class, and we all went from 7th grade to 12th grade together. So I don't speak to Andrew more than a few times a year anymore. But when you have those bonds, 5 years of seeing somebody every day, and we weren't the best of friends by any means in high school. We were both the funny men. I was one of the funny guys. He was the other funny guy. You know, you either really loved his humor or my humor, sometimes both. Every once in a while, we shared the stage, so to speak. But usually it was a humor man competition. But we had a really nice reunion at our 25th year reunion? Must have been. No, I guess I'm not there yet. 25th reunion is going to be this year. Graduated in 87, so it must have been our 20-year reunion. We had a really good time. His wife is lovely. He's really a fun guy to hang out with, and really is funny and irreverent. I mean, he grew up, and I remember distinctly every day he would watch Letterman. He was the only kid I knew who stood up to 1:30 in the morning. He watched Letterman every single night. Back then, we didn't have TiVo, so he had to watch it live. And of course, as many of you know, Andrew Breitbart is the guy in high school who convinced me that by not masturbating, I was missing out on one of life's great pleasures. And it turns out he was right. So it's a little strange that of my memories of him, that will always be one of the memories that I keep dear to my heart. And boy, is it dear. I remember the conversation. The look on his face when I told him at 15 years old that I had never masturbated. The look on his face of just sheer horror. I had not yet experienced that was tremendous. And, it's funny the things you remember about people. But I will say something about Andrew, we'll leave it at that for now. Unless any of you want to call in and talk about it, please do. This is a guy who is and always was fearless. We had a dean in the school named Miss Huckel. She was the dean of students, and when you messed up, you went to her office. And probably he and I saw each other in that office more than anywhere else. But Andrew was never afraid to stand out on a limb. Might surprise you, right? He was never afraid to speak his mind. And, you know, Kevin wrote something on his Facebook page, which actually was really beautiful about Andrew this morning. And what it was is that he just, you know, even back then, at 13 years old, he had a strong sense of morality. And, he lost a lot of friends, even close family members as friends, because of his politics. In West L.A., being far right is not desirable and not received very well. So he lived a tough, hard life, a good life. He was always happy, had a beautiful wife and children, and unfortunately, an untimely and early demise. So, Andrew, I miss you. You're my brother. And give them hell up above. Okay, let's get on to some football. Let's get on to some happier news. Let's start with Tim Tebow. Because whenever you need a good story, you go right to Tim. Now, Tebow this week took a 10-year-old cancer patient, little girl, to the Teen Spirit Awards. Now, if you hate Tim Tebow, if you are a Tim Tebow hater, then it's on you. Because, yeah, I get it. He doesn't have good mechanics. I get it. I get it. He prays. He's a Christian. Okay. But you know what? Jamal Wilkes had the ugliest shot form, that is, that I've ever seen. And he was nicknamed Silk because that thing went in every time. I mean, do we really care about what Tebow looks like doing it? Or do we care about the fact that he's winning? I mean, he went 7-4. He won a playoff game against the vaunted Steelers. He got his ass beat by the Patriots, but so what? The only team that didn't was the Giants. And you know he's working harder than any quarterback right now. I mean, the guy's at UCLA working on his mechanics and his footwork. He's working with Elway personally. He's reviewing tape of himself again and again. This kid is going to get better and better and better. And maybe he will never be a traditional pocket quarterback. But let me tell you, folks, it's a new NFL. Are you going to make Robert Griffin sit in the pocket? I mean, even Andrew Luck, who could be a pocket passer, are you going to make him sit in the pocket? The new NFL, you have a mobile quarterback in the new NFL. It's going to be real interesting to see what happens in this draft and see what goes on with Peyton Manning and Luck and all of that. There's a lot of activity going on right now in the NFL. Vincent Jackson is, theoretically, he's in demand. Ocho Cinco was asked to restructure his contract rather than just being cut. That's interesting to me. Looks like he's going to return to the Patriots now. And quite frankly, the problem with Ocho was he just couldn't pick up the offense. So if over the summer, having been in the system for a year, he's able now to pick up that offense, could mean a lot for that team. Although I do think still that they're going to try to sign Brandon Lloyd. It makes sense with McDaniels being there. Peyton Manning, it looks like he's on the way out. Most likely destination, my good friend Dan Rose is not here to discuss it, but it looks like Kansas City is probably the destination for Peyton Manning. Well, that would be a real tough team. You go from nothing to everything when you have Peyton Manning at quarterback, Jamaal Charles healthy in the backfield, Dwayne Bowe, Steve Breston, and Jonathan Baldwin receivers, and a healthy Tony Maiocchi at tight end. You pick up some linemen in the draft, maybe Khalil. Looking pretty good. Now, speaking of Khalil, Matt Khalil is an absolute physical specimen. I mean, he just looked amazing at the combine. And you could just watch him and just the level of talent versus the other offensive linemen. I mean, he's so much better than all of them. Guys who also stood out to me at the combine, Justin Blackmon didn't run as fast as we thought he did, thought he was, and he's shorter. He's only a little over 6 feet tall. I'm yawning during the broadcast. I'm so exhausted. I woke up early with the Sprite Bart thing, trying to find out information, trying to get a hold of his family. Tannehill did not play in the combine, but he's shooting up the charts. Now, Smitty's coming on soon, and he and I will talk about his boy Cousins, the Michigan State quarterback, who had a really good combine. Floyd at Notre Dame, Michael Floyd, Malcolm's younger brother, I think looks real good. Riley Reiff from Iowa, the offensive lineman, going to go high. Now, the guy I love is this defensive lineman, Poe. He's like the refrigerator. The guy's got quick feet. He's like 350 pounds, shooting up draft charts. Now, I saw him some mock drafts. Richardson going as low as 12. Now, how do you put Richardson at 12? Doesn't make sense to me. That guy is a 2 or 3 pick. Of all those skill players in the draft, I think Richardson is the biggest home run. Kendall Wright ran a slow 40 from Baylor. A lot of O and D line prospects and linebackers in the first round. Very few skill position players in the first round. It looks like it's what's happening. And you know, the running back from Virginia Tech, I never forget his name, Johnson, I think. He's a fumbler, but he did a pretty good job at the combine, and he really wowed everybody. You know, so if you think appearance doesn't matter, folks, take a listen. It's David Wilson, not Johnson. David Wilson, not only did he run a 4.440, but he measured in 5.10, not 5.9. And at the end, 2.06, he's got a good build. But the thing with him, he showed up in a suit. Appearance matters. Everybody loved him in their interview. And they loved that he was in the suit and that he was a professional. That's going to matter on draft day. People underestimate how important it is to be a professional, present company included. If I put more stock in being a professional, maybe I'd be one. Then maybe everybody wouldn't want to run for the hills when it comes to fantasy insights. Dan might be quitting. I think Dan's quitting. I don't know. He's just not coming on the show. He's not responding to my texts. He hates me since he lost a toe. It's like when he lost a toe, he lost a part of me. I lost a part of him. He lost a part of me. Or he lost a part of him, and now he wants to lose all of me. I don't know what Dan's going to do. It's starting to worry me a little bit. Because, you know, there's no Fantasy Insights without Dan. Without Dan, Fantasy Insights is just basically a collection of misprints, typographical errors, missed deadlines, and average content. So I really don't hope that Dan stays just because of that. I just hope he stays because it makes my life easier. Maybe I'll have to start paying him. Hey, if I give him $1, it's a huge raise. From 0 to 1 is big. Anyway, we're through the first segment. When I come back, I'm believing that Smitty will be here. If not, I will talk to myself and pretend I'm schizophrenic and give an entertaining radio show for you. Fantasy Insights Radio with a heavy heart, Dish Adams. We'll be back after this.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Ready for in-your-face sports?
Want to talk about the topics that nobody else is willing to talk about, either because they're too scared to touch them or just don't think it's the way to go? You're not going to be shy here. Tune in to Here's the Deal with Mega and Steele, featuring Ike Mega Griffin and Sydney Steele Justice. We've got the facts to back up the talk and invite you to join us every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, just before the weekend on the Voice America Sports Channel. We tell it like it is. Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with Kay Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
Tune in to a show about making a comeback and what really goes on behind the scenes with your favorite athletes and beyond. Listen for The Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. A lot of people believe what they read on the internet, hear and see in the media, and on the news. We're going to give our guests the chance to tell the real story without the extra hype. It's not just sports, although that will be a focal point of the program. We'll also look at the world of celebrities, music, modeling, and more. Listen every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
You know, I'm horrible. I'm sitting here, I'm on Facebook, and I'm looking just to see comments about Breitbart. And inevitably, I do what I always do on Facebook, which is I end up seeing a name of a friend who's usually a woman who I haven't seen in forever. And there's a woman that she's friends with, and I end up going, looking through the pictures. And the best part about Facebook is any girl who you've ever found even the slightest bit attractive, well, and those who aren't, for instance, as well. But you go to a Facebook page, you're going to find that one bikini photo.
Oh, without exception. And, you know, you won't see that with guys, except for the very strange, you know.
Now, do you think that women know that by putting up a photo of themselves in the bikini, that is now part of every guy's masturbary? I mean, Facebook is basically a public masturbary, which is, in my terms, a library of masturbatory images.
You know, I don't want to speak for you. I've never crossed that threshold. There's too much good porn out
there.
You're
lying. You're lying.
No, I'm not.
You are lying if you're telling me you've never known a girl that you were really attracted to and then looked at her Facebook page and there were, like, some hot photos, including some bikini stuff, and you just sat there idly by watching porn instead. Give me a break. We've all done it. We don't discuss it. Only I discuss it.
Not to that extent. We all have our favorite sites.
Yeah, mine's Facebook with girls I know.
If you are
a woman and you are my Facebook friend, you're in the masturbary.
Well, I think Facebook is what anyone...
I might have even had you last night.
Anyone that's even, you know, ever done any online match or whatever, Facebook is far more efficient, I'll say that.
Oh, my God. When I first got out of my marriage, in between meeting the lovely Erica, because the lovely Erica might be listening, I'll just say it this way. Facebook was definitely a source of many, 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 many opportunities.
Sure.
And what's funny is it's all the girls that in high school wouldn't give you the time of day, but now they've gone through a marriage where someone treated them like hell and they're divorced.
Right. Well, and you know what's funny? What I find is that, you know, as most single guys do, there's always a woman or two kind-hearted and usually with good opinions that, you know, wants to set, you know, other people up in case they might actually be happy someday. And it's always like, hey, so I talked to my friend, you know, she saw your Facebook photos, she's interested. Here, look at her photos. If you don't like them, let me know, but if not, send her a friend. I'm like, you know, this is like, it is more efficient. But
it is so efficient. And yeah, I remember the days of the blind date.
Oh, yeah, there's no reason for that anymore.
There's no reason for it, although I have to say, I guess the new version of the blind date is when you get the person that you're going to go out with, you get their name, and the blind part of it is when you go to their Facebook page to find them.
Yeah, perhaps, but...
You know, because it used to be, it was that trepidation and excitement with when you show up at the door, and you knock at the door, and she opens the door, and you see her.
Yeah.
Now, did I ever tell you my great story, my best blind date story? This is fantastic.
No, go ahead. I mean, I can chime in because, you know, we're about to take this into total, pig territory.
Nothing wrong with that. Sports, steak, and the sexes. That's and by right. the way, did you hear that Dita Von Teese, the queen of burlesque, will be coming on the show this month?
I thought I read that. You know, I often glimpse your script just to make sure it's nothing too crazy, and I think I saw that.
Yeah, she is going to come and join us on the show. She is starting a tour with the House of Blues. She has lingerie line, she has perfume line, cosmetics, and as part of the world promotion, we're going to have her on the show. We're sports steak in the sexes. She likes football. Why not?
So the only step up from there is probably an outright porn star.
Well, see, now Dita's got the class element to her. She managed to take, she kind of did for stripping what California Pizza Kitchen did for pizza.
You know, I actually went there for lunch today. There's one across the way from my company here, and still good.
Yeah, it's all good. So, well, I mean...
Wait, tell your story about the...
All right, so it's a blind date, my buddy. Now, you got to keep in mind, at the time, I'm about 24, 25 years old.
Sure.
Okay, and, you know, I was still skinny and good-looking back then.
You know, you've done okay for yourself. I mean, you're, you know...
Well, listen, it's not my fault Erica has bad eyesight, as I like to say. Okay,
you got height working for you.
Yeah, I got height. I got height and I got hair.
Yeah, so I mean, I only have one of the two, so, you know, there you go.
That's right. So anyway, back then I had height, I had hair, I was skinny, I was charming, and I wasn't jaded by life. So I was pretty cool back then. And right. I could dunk a basketball. Not a light white Jewish guys can say that.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I dunked in a pickup game at the Wooden Center.
At a real 10-foot rim? I mean...
Yeah, no. In an actual pickup game at the Wooden Center, I mean, it was a real game. And I had three witnesses who were three guys who still to this day, we play poker together. It's my poker game. They all saw it happen. And it was like the whole gym went, oh! The other team came right back down the court and they dunked four times in a row.
Yeah, so what?
Yeah, who cares? I got my dunk and I'm telling a story now. So anyway, back when I'm all cool like this... My buddy says, hey, my sister's coming in town from Florida, and she's staying with me for a few days, and I have to go out and do this function. You know, can you take her out on Friday night?
Sure.
And I'm like, you know, my buddy, I mean, he's a good-looking dude, I guess. I mean, he's about 2 feet tall, and he's, you know, I mean, he's okay.
Yeah.
But one of my good friends is like, yeah, sure, I'll take her out. So I get over to the place, and I knock on the door, and I'm expecting Broomhilda.
Mm-hmm.
She opens the door, and you know how some women, they have that glow around them? That whole, that glow. It's just that charisma that just comes off of them, that energy field. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Really beautiful women?
Yep.
Well, as the door starts to open, I can feel it. And she opens the door, and she is standing there. I mean, when you talk about a dime, this girl, she was an 11. I mean, gorgeous, blonde, curly hair, blue eyes, tan skin, surfer girl, southern accent. Cool as hell. Woo! And I look one look at her, and she looked at me, and she smiled, and I said, your brother's leaving you alone with me? Damn, what an idiot he is.
Well, that's a good story.
Well, we went out, we made out all night, and we had a little relationship. And the painful end to the story is that she then told me she was going to be with me. She just had to go break up with a guy in Seattle first, and she went up to Seattle. And when she came back, she had a engagement ring on her finger.
Oh, well, there you go.
That shaped my life, guys. That's why I am such a bitter jerk.
No, but here's the deal with that. I can tell you exactly what happened, and I would say this is universally true of women, because whether it be you, obviously now you're married, all, you know, you were single for a time. I still am, but women always, the nature of women is to always have a backup plan. So basically,
yep. I was a backup plan.
Huh?
I was the backup plan.
Yeah, of course. You're perfectly desirable. And she went up there, and it happens all the time. I mean, and that's what I've learned as I get older. You know, don't be the backup plan for any length of time, or be indifferent, because that way you're not invested at all emotionally.
It was brutal, Smitty. She led me to believe that she came to California for
absolutely.
Me.
Yeah.
But I realize now, well, I realized then after the fact, she came to California to be closer to Seattle. It's an easier flight.
True.
Yep. That's what happened.
All right,
it happens to the best of us.
Yeah. Do you want to hear a bad, just a Match.com story?
You have one?
Yeah.
You were on Match.com.
So here's the thing. I conducted a social experiment on myself. It lasted about 3 months. And finally, a good friend of mine locally, actually the same guy that I co-host the Super Bowl party with, he broke me out of it because I was like, what is wrong with these women? I mean, it's like, you know, it's an issue to them just talk on the phone. And finally he's like, dude, any woman that's not crazy and not whatever can find a guy to go out with her. If they're on there, they're messed up already. And I thought to myself, you know what? You're right.
I don't know about that.
I didn't find... Well, here's what I learned. Here's what I learned. You know, you have different categories, right? And so I think I'm reasonably fit. I mean, if you ask me honestly, there's rarely a time in my life where I wouldn't say that, you know, I could lose a few pounds. So I'm basically answering the questions as to specifications. So I'm probably putting down, I'm probably putting down, you know, fit is fine, thin is fine.
Wait a minute. You didn't know the axiom?
No.
It's true universally for women. There's two things that no matter what they say, you basically cut it in half or by about 10 to 15.
Yeah.
How many guys they've slept with and what they weigh.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you a woman will look you dead in the face. You could have a porn video of her with the St. Louis Rams, and she will say she's only slept with two guys in her life.
Yeah, yeah. So what I learned was, you know, having answered that and also including a few extra pounds as being acceptable, a few extra pounds does not mean a few extra midgets.
And so those midgets can tap dance them all in. I love tap dancing and dancing.
No, I mean, because that was my story. Because it's basically like, you know, and you're meeting in a bar, right? And so you're saying, okay, what, you know, everything seems fine. And I'm like, son, come on, please. No, don't be that way. Don't be that way. And then you see them before they see you. And I swear, I went straight up to the bar and ordered a pint and knocked it back just
Well, you know my story about that. I had a San Francisco night like that. I had one of those phone relationships that was turning into something bigger, and so we decided we were going to see each other. I should have known when she wouldn't send me a photo.
Yeah.
And I just remember we had this whole romantic night where I was like chased, we couldn't find each other, and finally, like, I came right around the elevator, and like, I came around, and all I could see below this thing were these really big cankles. I walked around, I said, oh boy, and I had that moment, you know, I was like 23, 24.
Right.
And back then, you know, I just gotta say, I didn't discriminate at that age.
Yeah.
I just said, you know, she's either sober, or she's a three or four shots of tequila, and I had a few shots of tequila, and we had a fun night.
Okay, well, there you go.
That's how it goes, right?
Yeah.
Those were the days!
Unfortunately for me, they still are the days from time to time. But
I gotta tell you something, you know, it's really, I don't miss those days at all, because the reality is, as much of a jackass as I am, and as many stupid things as I say and do, I do get to go to bed with an absolutely beautiful woman all the time.
Yeah, and I think this year has been a pretty level year for me, where it's kind of like, you know, I'll probably be fully invested at some time, so maybe I'm going with several backup plans until one turns into something, you know.
Now, a man of your advanced age, are you looking to settle down? Do you have a girlfriend?
I do not have a girlfriend in that sense. I've got two or three women.
Do any of them listen to this show?
I don't believe so.
Okay, well, because if there's even a chance, then let's start moving on to a new topic. Yeah. I don't want to get you screwed up.
No, it's probably, no, you won't, you won't. It's just one of those things where, you sort of get to the point where, and here's, you know, a buddy of mine ruined this for me probably, a decade or two ago. He'd been married, I think we were both in our 30s at the time, and, you know, he'd been married for like 5 or 10 years, and he said, you know, I always thought that when I was dating 20-year-olds and I was about that age, and you get in your 30s, I was like, man, I figured, okay, well, then I must, you know, find myself naturally interested in the women about my age. It's like, change. You're still interested in the 20-year-olds.
The only thing that happens is you start asking their age before you stare at their ass.
In any
event, Fantasy Insights Radio. We will be back. This was the sexes part of the show. We'll get to sports when we come back after this. Smitty and Dish, Fantasy Insights Radio.
Internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Play ball. If you're looking to talk baseball, even in the offseason, look no further than the King's Corner, talking baseball with former World Series champion Jim Leyritz. Jim's known for a rather controversial stance during his show. He's brutally honest and ready to talk with current and former players, owners, and other key figures to bring you baseball from an insider's view. You won't want to miss a single episode. The King's Corner, Talking Baseball with Jim Leyritz is heard every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bench his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
Now, listen, I just want you to know, you're really a beautiful girl. You're a beautiful woman. But I am just not emotionally available. I'm just not an option for you. If you still want to go dates, have fun, I'll treat you with respect. When I'm with you, I'm with you. But I'm just not a long-term option for you.
Dish, I appreciate the sentiment, but times aren't that tough for me yet.
I got to tell you something that works like gold.
That is true, though. That is.
You tell any woman who's pretty that she's going to want to go out with you for good, because they think they can change it.
That's the crazy thing. The ones you're really interested in, it's so counterintuitive, but you realize you get older.
Yep.
You have to be nonchalant. You have to not care.
Isn't that the worst? To just go up and just, you know, be like a dog, you know, go up to him and like just... Yeah. And, like, you know, jump up and down and let them know how excited you are, but you can't do that.
Well, you have to approach them like the cats that they are.
Now, at the same time, if a beautiful woman says what I just said, if a beautiful woman says that to a guy, every guy's response is the same. Fantastic, let's go have sex.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like a plan. I don't think any money needs to be.
That's the difference. That's a dream. That's a dream woman for a man. For a woman, it's, you know, a nightmare. So, out of the sexes and into sports, your man Kirk Cousins made a hell of an impression at the combine.
Yeah, he's looking good. And funny, we were talking about that poker last night, and of course, everyone knows I'm a big Michigan State fan. I think he's going to be a very good NFL quarterback. I think he's just had good game management skills, strong arm. He's a big part of the reason why State has had two straight great years.
Well, 6'2.5", 215 pounds, good quarterback size. Like to see him be a little bit taller, but that's okay.
Yep.
Ran a good 40, a decent 40, 4.8.
Yeah, right.
Looked great in the passing drills. And they say that really he did more than anybody to move himself up. In fact, right now they're looking at him at possibly the 33rd player taken in the entire draft, early second round, late first round. Your thoughts about Cousins?
No, I've liked him for a while, and you know, we didn't really argue about him on the show. But remember when we were debating Luck and our RG3,
yeah.
I kept mentioning Cousins. And, yeah, it's a little bit biased, but, no, he's going to be a good quarterback. He's going to be a starting quarterback within 2 to 3 years. You know, hopefully, I think he could prosper well enough in a situation where he'd come in and start right away, but I think he'd be better, you know, apprenticing or what have you.
I think he's just as good as Andy Dalton was.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about quarterbacks at the Combine. Andrew Luck, the thing about him that everybody was amazed about was his 40 was the same as Cam Newton's.
That's hard to believe.
His vertical leap is bigger
right.
than Cam Newton's. His broad jump was better. He basically physically is Cam Newton.
Except, you know what? Don't you believe that Cam Newton's still a lot faster?
No, I don't. I believe that Cam Newton, yeah, well, when you talk about football speed, yeah.
Right.
You know, a guy like Mario Manningham is an example of that. Manningham, I think, only runs a 4.5 or a 4.6.
Mm-hmm.
But when the ball's in the air, it's probably a 4.3.
He's a strange one to peg. I mean, on the other hand, getting back to your Go Blue guys, Breston was always the true burner, but they haven't used him as that.
You know, because he's too short. He can't go over the top. He doesn't
right.
have over-the-top speed. He's got quickness, not speed.
Yeah, I mean, he's a possession receiver now,
yeah.
which is really bizarre.
But that's the difference with Breston. Breston
yep.
has quickness, not speed. There's a huge difference.
Right.
Quickness and agility is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not speed. Marshawn Lynch has quickness and agility. He doesn't have speed.
Right.
You know, as an example. Whereas, you know, a guy like Matt Forte has quickness and speed. Jones-Drew.
No contract.
Yeah, well, he will soon. Jones-Drew, quickness and speed.
Right.
Chris Johnson, quickness and speed. Arian Foster actually doesn't have quickness. He has speed. He just moves well laterally. He knows how to hit the hole.
Right, right. Well,
so, you know, these guys are all different.
The ultimate example of really not having speed was Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, he was just quick, and he knew how to get to the hole and
he
move.
He understood the bursts. He understood where he needed to be, and that was it.
Well, you know, we've talked about Luck and Griffin and Cousins. I mean, Whedon, you know, the rap on him is he's a little too old.
Mm-hmm.
Tannehill did throw. Russell Wilson, too short, 5'10".
Mm-hmm.
But you never know what can happen with him. He's a pretty talented kid.
Right.
But, you know, now let's get into those running backs, because that's what we were starting to talk about. You know, to me, Trent Richardson is a game changer.
He should be.
Is a guy that you have to design a defensive scheme to stop him. And they have him listed at basically a third-ranked player overall,
mm-hmm.
but I've seen him going as low as 12 in mock drafts. And
right.
I cannot conceive this guy isn't taken in the first four picks. I mean, he's a better prospect than Blackmon is.
Sure, but that's because you've got all these, you know, I assume there's linemen in the mix between the quarterbacks and where he is.
Well, let's go through it a little bit.
I don't have it in front of me, so I'm relying on you.
Well, the number one pick's going to be Luck.
Right.
Number two pick's going to be RG3. Somebody's going to trade up for that pick from St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where the gray starts. I think you got to believe number three is going to be Khalil. I mean, Matt Khalil put on a show as an offensive lineman that you don't normally see.
Who's the guy that benched 2.25 43 times?
43 times was a defensive player. The guy, second was David Mulk, and third was Martin from Michigan.
Okay.
Mulk did 41 as an offensive lineman.
That's insane. I mean, you know, there's times in my life, like right now I could probably do 8 or 10. I mean, seriously.
At 225?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
Dan and I were having this debate last week, and we decided that it would be a stretch, even if somebody was spotting me, for me to do one.
Have you ever done it?
Not that much weight.
It's muscle.
I've never
memory,
been good
so.
At the bench press.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm more of a you know, you and I probably built a little differently. My max ever. This is the weird part. The only good thing about getting older, my max ever was done in my early 40s at 315, and that was the only thing that's gotten better about getting older. You do get stronger, and so if you keep at it, you don't really taper off that much.
Yeah, I don't work out. Although I have to tell you, in the I hate saying it. It comes back up again and again. But in the light of what happened with Breitbart, I'm going to have to start getting healthy.
Well, in all seriousness, I mean, the thing to do, and I've done this, you know, back when I had a good job, you know, didn't have a good job, now I've got a good job, I would just always, probably from the time I'm 40 on, I'd just go in and do a routine physical. And, yeah, I mean, barring something, you know, it doesn't include a full, you know, EEG or stuff like that. But, you know, just check the basics. The other cool thing
I don't have the fear of doctors that most people have.
No.
My dad's a doctor.
Well,
so.
there's another cool thing you could do. I don't know what it's called. And, in California, but like in Texas, there's the program I think is called Health Yes, where you can get like 7 tests that you wouldn't get done otherwise, which, you know,
it's like a full body scan.
Yeah, they measure your blood pressure at all your extremities. They sort of do a sonogram equivalent on your aorta. They really try to kind of check for those things that no one would ever look for, but if they went south, there'd be instant death.
Huh.
So check into that. It costs about $200.
All right, I'm going to look into that. Yeah, because I need to start getting healthy.
Well, you know, how old are you?
42.
Okay, well, I got 8 years on you, so you hit 50, you're like, okay, it's gone pretty well. All the things I've done, I'm still doing all right.
Well, I think I'm probably in pretty good shape for 50. The problem is I'm 42.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, I just played basketball. I can't even walk anymore.
I just signed up for every year I do the Capital 10K, and this year I hadn't run much in the off season, but I'd lifted and done a bunch of leg work, squats and curls,
right,
and all that stuff, and I feel pretty good. I ran a 5K on the treadmill, slow as hell, of course. These are like 10, 11-minute miles, but I'm like, yeah, felt okay. So in 3 weeks from this weekend, I'm going to run 6.2 miles. It'll be fine.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah. So yeah.
That's a total waste of time.
a total waste
of stress and inertia on your knees.
Yeah, a little bit. But the good thing is I do that each weekend. I'm like, okay, at least my workout for the weekend's done.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to worry about anything more once you get there.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, getting back to these running backs.
Sure.
Trent Richardson to me is the obvious. Lamar Miller ran a 4.38.
Wow.
That's pretty quick.
That is moving.
Chris Polk, Washington, ran a 4.46.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Because he's a bigger back. And
right,
then the most surprising to me, 5'9", 223 pounds. It's a big back.
Mm-hmm.
4.47.
Who's that?
That would be Doug Martin at Boise State.
Yeah.
Interesting. And
did
then
you hear what,
David
you hear
Wilson,
what
of course, he ran a 4.4, which was great. Showed up to interviews in the suit.
Who's
and all the scouts love this kid now.
Who's this?
He's a fumbler, David Wilson, the running back on Virginia Tech.
Right. But you heard what RG3 ran, right?
It was like a 4.3.
I think it was 4.4 or 4.41.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Here,
fastest
in fact,
time
I have it
ever
right
run
now
by a quarterback. It would. I mean, put it this way, that would be really solid speed as a wide receiver. As a
yeah, 4.4. He ran a 4.38.
What? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yep.
And by comparison, the top few receivers. 4.42, 4.5. Stephen Hill at Georgia Tech ran a 4.3. But other than that, nobody was below 4.4.
Yeah.
And of the running backs, the only ones below 4.4, LaMichael James ran a 4.37.
Wow.
And Lamar Miller in Miami ran a 4.38.
There you have it.
That's pretty interesting, huh?
That's here's the thing that we missed last year, because basically it was like all of this was short-circuited. You did the draft, and then we stood down. I think this year you're going to see more interest than ever in the off-season NFL because everyone missed it last year.
Yeah, I think that you're probably right about that. And along those lines, Fantasy Insights will be putting out a report at least every couple weeks, our off-season report. It might just be in the form of a blog, but we will be analyzing the combines, the draft, the mock draft, and whatnot. Anybody stand out to you of the rookies? To me, LaMichael James, he's 5'8", 195 pounds, 4.37 40 time.
Right.
And a great college pedigree.
Sure.
Why is he the 7th-ranked running back? Is he just a third down back, slot back? Is he not as good as Reggie Bush?
Well, you'd think he is, but again, I think it's hard not to put him into kind of Darren Sproles category. He's not
but
that
wouldn't
small.
Wouldn't every NFL team like a Darren Sproles?
Well, you'd think so. And
I mean, if
thing,
you knew you were getting Darren Sproles, wouldn't you take him in the first round?
Of course, but it's up to a coach and a management team like Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints to make that leap, or Jimmy Johnson or someone like that, or even the Patriots to say, hey, this is a great talent and we can make this work. The problem with sports in general, but I think the teams that really succeed are the ones that go unconventional, that are like, hey, we know enough to know when to break the rules, and this is a great fit in our system. I think there's a safety in doing the conventional.
Yeah, there is, but you know what? That never being safe never wins you ball games.
No, it doesn't.
And it's interesting to see with LaMichael James because he is such an all-world talent, and he really does have a good college pedigree.
Yep.
That's what confuses me the most, is that it seems like that he would be a little bit higher because of that. He played in a good system. It's not like he plays in a system people don't trust. I mean, the guys that have come out of Oregon have done okay.
Right.
All right, well, we're coming up on the break. When we come back from the break, we'll go over a little more of the receivers. We'll talk about tight ends. We might even start talking about next year's fantasy heroes before the draft. But all in all, Fantasy Insights Radio here on a Thursday, Smitty and Dish, taking you to it.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
When it comes to youth and high school football, listen each week to Coach Al Gross at First and Ten Football. Coach covers vital topics relating to the latest trend on a national level. Join Coach as he interviews personalities from the NFL, NCAA, and the top high school coaches from around the country. Catch all the interviews and get in-depth information online at www.firstandtenfootball.com. Your national resource for youth and high school football. First and Ten Football airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional, take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
High school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
You know, I don't know if I should be offended or something at all. You know, I'm at dinner the other night. I actually was with the Dean of Admissions at the University of Michigan. He comes out, and when he does, my father and I, we go out with him. We took a couple other guys who are kind of heavy hitters out. And, you know, at some point it comes up and they say, hey, let me see a picture of your wife. They hear I got married. And I show them the picture of Erica. And, you know, should I be offended at the look I see on guys' faces? They look at her and they realize, wow, she's gorgeous. And then they get this look like, what the hell is she doing with you?
Well, I think where you'd really, you know, have the right to be a little bit offended is if they keep looking at the photo, looking up at you, looking back at the photo.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's exactly it.
And not saying anything. And then you get some response like, wow, yeah, that's all right.
That is exactly what they do. So, the ones that I love, the ones that say, oh, she's pretty, and they give it back, and they go, can I see that again?
Yeah. Do you have a soft copy of this?
Yeah, I know. My dad once said to me, when I used to get jealous because guys would flirt with my with a girlfriend that I had. This was years and years ago. I was young. And he said, Adam, do you think she's hot? I said, yeah. He said, well, so does everyone else. Why can you blame him for hitting on him? It's up to her to tell him she's taken.
Yeah, absolutely. But on the other hand, you don't want to go the route of, you know, marry an ugly girl because then, you know, you don't have to worry about any of that.
But that's what people say.
Yeah, but who says that?
I mean, people married ugly women.
Yeah. Well, that was the old Bum Phillips line about, you know, why did he always take his wife on the road because she was too ugly to kiss goodbye?
I had never heard that. That's really funny.
And you picture Bum Phillips saying that and just, you know, killing the line. I mean, that's just perfect.
Oh, no, that's just great. So, you know, speaking of schooling.
Yes.
Which I don't know if we're even speaking of, but I'm looking at it on Facebook. It makes me think, University of Michigan. makes me think basketball. The two Michigan schools split today, but I just wanted to tell you what was so nice is that I'm at a Michigan event, and someone's like trying to say, like, how do you describe like Michigan? And we're like, well, the smart kids go to Michigan, and the ones on the fringe go to state.
Okay, you got to realize, here's what you don't know. I was class valedictorian with a 4.0 GPA out of high school.
Out of high school that had 13 kids, all of whom were IQ of less than 10, so you didn't get into Michigan anyway.
Oh, you want to know? You really want to know why I went to Michigan State? It was such an easy thing, and it was. I was concerned both schools, of course. And so we got from the Detroit area, we got to take field.
Wait. This is 32 years ago, roughly.
That's right.
Okay, so let's go in our time capsule. 32 years ago, 1968?
No, not
where
that bad.
1972?
1979.
79.
Oh, I went an extra 79.
This is why we need Dan.
Yeah, hold on. So what our high school would do, they'd have a bus trip up there. And so what happened was the U of M trip was scheduled in February. So we go from Detroit up to Ann Arbor. We get there. We've got some guy bundled up in a big parka. It's 15 degrees outside, and we can't even see out the windows. And, you know, this guy was probably an engineering student of some sort. He's like, okay, here's the campus. And, you know, once we stop, we mill around all that. So that was that. I'm like, okay, fine. The Michigan State trip happened in April. It was 75 degrees.
Oh, and those girls are so cute.
We drove past a few of the dorms, and my buddy and I both it was decided right then.
Yeah, exactly. And this was 1979, 1980. So you had the Pirates went in the World Series. Michigan was playing in the Rose Bowl with Rick Leach.
No, but see, here's where you're skewed a little. 1979, Michigan State won the NCAA with Magic against Bird.
Right.
They won the Big Ten with Kirk Gibson, you know, in baseball, and they made won the Big Ten football with Gibson as a receiver. So they had the triumvirate and then won nothing for the 4 years I was there.
Yeah, and the 4 years I was at Michigan, we won everything. It was great. That's really funny, though. So speaking of those two schools, let's get into some college basketball.
Yes. It's
all I know is that Michigan still is not officially out of sharing the Big Ten title.
That's true, and let me segue into this a little bit. March Madness, around the corner. Today's the first day of March.
Oh, that means the Primer must be coming.
The Primer is coming. You're going to see it again. It's going to be the same excellence that we provided during the football season.
Wait a minute. Well, how did we do in last year's March Madness Primer?
60%?
Yeah, I think we're 60%.
Yeah. Over that. And remember, there's dollar picks. So there's basically the picks you want.
Oh, no, I know. Hey. I followed your football. What'd you shoot, 65%?
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, well, this year the plan is we're going to take Fantasy Insights subscribers, we're going to have them buy their memberships early, and we're going to gamble all of that money on the tournament. And if you do well, the site will flourish, and if you don't, we'll just shut it down.
Yeah, no worries. No, that'll be fine. And here's the other thing. For the
you
first
see,
time,
so he has no fear?
No.
So give me the lowdown. We only have a few minutes until the show closes, actually.
Okay.
Give me the lowdown on the landscape of college basketball by telling me who are the top one or two teams in each region and who is going to make some noise in the tournament. I would guess, if things are how they always are, Carolina, Duke, Kansas, Michigan State, you know, those four teams all have a chance. Maybe there's someone in the Big East like Syracuse or Georgetown.
Sure.
Nobody in the SEC to worry about. Nobody in the Big 12 to worry about.
Okay. You're going to have to let me talk if you want that wrap up.
All right. That's my assessment. Now let's hear the real deal.
All right. Well, the real deal is this. Of course, being the huge Go Green, Go White supporter that I am, this is Michigan State, I think, best team as far as what they've got with Draymond Green leading the way. They still have a chance at a one seed. They need to beat Ohio State and then win or get to the finals of the Big Ten tournament. State's a good contender. Best team in the country, though, the team that's almost going to be really difficult to beat is Kentucky. Anthony Jones, the rest of the crew is solid. Syracuse is going to go through the Big East, maybe undefeated. You can't discount them. In the Midwest, like it is every year, with Thomas Robinson leading the way, Kansas is the team to beat. Mizzou is good, but a little bit of a paper tiger, a little bit undersized. I mean, Heath has done a great job over there. And I guess as far as, you know, dark horses, I think the Big Ten does have a good season. Your Go Blue team should get no worse than a four seed.
I like Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana beat Michigan State, and I wasn't that shocked by that.
But what about Carolina and Duke?
So Carolina, if they get hot, has as much talent, I think, just about as any team in the country. You know, Duke, as Jim Calhoun say, well, Duke is Duke. You know, they're gonna be in mix. I don't see them winning the thing this year. I don't think Syracuse makes it to the Final Four. So if you ask me Final Four picks, I'd probably say Kansas, Kentucky, Michigan State, of course, especially if they get a one seed in the Midwest, which they could still do. And after that, it's a toss-up. I'd probably say one of the
two. We're almost out of time, but is there anybody on the West Coast, any teams in the West?
No, not really.
Even like Gonzaga and those teams?
No, your best teams on the
Long
Pac-12.
Beach State?
No, the best teams on the Pac-12 are Cal. I think Oregon can sneak in. Washington has improved. But these are all schools that would be very happy to even make the Sweet 16.
Who's your early pick for a champion?
Champion Kentucky. I hate to say
You're going with Kentucky.
Yep.
And I'm not going with anybody just yet till I see the brackets. But Fantasy Insights Radio, another week in the books. My thanks to Smitty for making sure I didn't have to be schizophrenic and talk to myself for an hour. Everybody, we will be back next Thursday. And don't forget, this month, Dita Von Teese, the Queen of Burlesque, will join us. And as I sign out, I would like to say to the family and children and wife of Andrew Breitbart, to those of us who knew him, to his friends, to everybody, a great loss, a great loss. Rest in peace, brother.
The weekend is coming up, and now you know what's going to make you a better fantasy player. Tune in again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, for more of Fantasy Insights on the Voice America Sports Channel. Don't forget to visit FantasyInsights.com, the best fantasy football site on the net.